True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. We have absolutely breaking news today on the Nancy Guthrie case that I think, quite frankly, could be more relevant than we even knew before. This is the story. TMZ just received today, about an hour ago or so, just a little over an hour ago, another ransom note. In this note, from what Harvey Levin says, is the person is saying again, they know where she is, as if she is deceased, by the way. But nevertheless, that they can give information as to where she is. Now, make no mistake, this happened for a reason on the day that Savannah Guthrie returned to the Today Show. And I was going to talk a lot about that, but I'm going to talk little about that, except for to say, I don't know if you watched it. I actually watched part of the Today Show for the first time ever, maybe since the days of Nancy Kerrick. I think I might have watched one or two, however many years ago that was. Never watched the show, never watched her on the show in any, you know, in decades. But nevertheless, I tell you what, she came on very composed, got right into news, didn't miss a stitch or a step, very professional. And again, I had mentioned this before when she went on the show with Hoda, that I thought that was part of that necessary cathartic moment that she had to get out of the way, besides everything she wanted to say, which was also very important. But I'm just saying a second or third tier reason why I believe they chose to do that the way they did, in the order they did, at the time they did, before she was going to appear, was very, it was very important for her to have those cathartic moments and get that out of her so she could join the Today Show without just completely breaking down. And she did. Today, again, didn't miss a beat. Yellow all over the set. She wore yellow. Obviously, her co-host had the yellow tie, as you can see there. So this was from today. And again, I did watch a little bit of it just to kind of get the feel for Nancy or for Savannah and how she would do because I was commentating on it. So nevertheless, she went on. Now, make no mistake, the fact there is a new ransom demand coming in now after she appeared is a complete gut punch. In fact, I'll call it a sucker punch, because whether this person who claims to know where Nancy's remains are, essentially, and I'm going to play the video for you, whether they know this or not, the fact that they chose to do it at this time is stunning to me. It really is. I say stunning. That's the wrong word. It's pathetic. It's gross. It is sadistic. It's literally the knife is already sitting in Savannah, and now they just turned it. A big turn. Because again, she went back to the Today Show. Why didn't that come out yesterday? Or the day before, or the day before, or the day before? There's been this huge hiatus between the ransom notes to TMZ and no ransom notes to TMZ, a big hiatus. And finally, you know, there was one again today, and they talk about that. I'm going to play this, what Harvey Levin had to say and the rest of the folks there for your consideration.
Although saying, stopped for a while.
Stopped for a while. Yeah. We got another letter today. From this person, an email saying, I know where her body is and who the kidnapper is. Give me half a Bitcoin and I'll tell you. And this person has been really persistent,
yeah,
knowing that if it's a scam, it's a federal crime.
Right. But they also made the point that they wanted to make it clear that they have nothing to do with it.
Right.
They've been out of the country, but who knows?
We forwarded
it. We forward it to the FBI,
right,
as we have in the past.
Right.
And for whatever reason, and this is the thing we haven't figured out, you have to assume that the law enforcement, they believe that this person is not legit. Otherwise, they would have advised Savannah to pay the money.
Yeah. Can we just be really transparent?
Uh-huh.
I think you're right that the law enforcement doesn't. There's something.
I just can't figure out why.
There's why not something. Take a flyer. The price of Bitcoin is much lower now. These are like you can just take a flyer and see what the person knows. The most you lose is 20 grand, 25 grand.
I'll tell you why. My spidey senses tell me that there's something about this guy, because one of the emails he sent said early on, time is of the essence to do this. And then the next day he said, time is no longer of the essence. If he was pulling a scam, why would you say time is no longer the essence?
Right. You want to keep the value high.
You want to keep the value high.
Yeah.
And the fact that he said this made me think, this guy knows something.
Yeah, it's
and
a way I, to look honest
and,
as well, though.
I'm not, look, right. I'm
we
not
don't,
FBI.
We don't have to know all the information they are, but
you're talking
just
about the
from the outside yeah. looking in, it sure seems like this person knows something.
All right. That's the show. That's what they had to say. Again, for them to do that right after Savannah had her show, this person to send this in. But listen to some of these clues. I have been out of the country. I mean, how many of us have been speculating from early on that these have, that there is a Mexican nexus here? Because I just can't imagine there isn't. Yes, we know, familiar with Tucson. Are these ransom notes related? Clearly, they are not the ones that Savannah Guthrie spoke about. She talks about the first two, where there's information about what she had on, where there was information about a floodlight, information about what was on her nightstand. So those were the key clues, in part at least, that I think is why the FBI, law enforcement, Savannah believes the first two notes are related. Now, if we remember the other notes, and I believe there's four, those notes were from somebody who says, listen, I have nothing to do with the crime, but I know where she is. And one of them was like, it's urgent, you know, I need to get paid. And I think they wanted 1.2 million, if I recall correctly. This time, and to give you the Bitcoin, what a half a Bitcoin, that's what they requested, right? A half a Bitcoin today is, and I did the calculations, a half a Bitcoin today is $34,842.12. All right. How many of you, and again, this is the persistent writer. I believe this is the at least the fourth note that TMZ has talked about. When I say the fourth note of the outlier. So there's the first two notes. And I need to look actually just to make sure because it has been so long. I was so excited to come on. I know there were two notes initially. Then after that, an individual came on and basically said, listen, they've got her. I know where she's at. That it's urgent. And Harvey Levin says it again. It's urgent. It's an urgent situation. And you need to pay me, I believe it was 1.2 million in Bitcoin, if I recall correctly. Then after that, they came back again a second time and a third time. I believe, but basically later when they came back, they said, you know, basically it's too late, but still they could take the family to the body. They know where the body is. This is what I would do if I were in charge of this case at this point. And recall, the FBI has made no road that we can at least see leading to the originators of the ransom notes, neither the two that Savannah spoke about when she spoke to Hoda and said she believes those are real. And we could see law enforcement came on, remember, and they gave reasons why they thought they were legitimate. And then we saw five different outreaches, right? The first outreach was all three family members. The second one was just Cameron, the son, all by himself saying, listen, you got to give us some way to contact you and give us proof of life. So his was very sort of businesslike. No tears, nothing like that. Just how can we get a hold of you? And please give us proof of life. That passed and didn't happen. Then the next one that the family communicates with the kidnappers, ransom writers, is the deadline already passed. So again, I'm to believe, and I think everybody understands what that meant. The first note gave them a deadline, a very specific deadline. And I believe it was if then, if you do not come forward with the money, if we don't have it in our Bitcoin account, we're going to kill Nancy. Because then after that, how the family addresses, and then we've heard about the possible apology that was in the note, you know, sorry, we had to kill her because you didn't pay. So then after that, we see another plea by the family, sort of, all right, in fact, it starts out worse to the effect of, and this is Savannah, we understand. We understand, but give us our mom back so we can have peace. And she talks about celebration. You know, that's when she first makes it very clear, we understand she's gone. And then there's two more pleas by Savannah. Basically just saying, you know, it's not too late. You can still be forgiven. We understand people. She said this, people make mistakes. I was thinking, who wouldn't exactly call this a mistake? Like, this is a major, horrible sin. You know, that's my opinion on that. But nevertheless, she continues to provide all of this sort of forgiveness type posture for these guys. Then she goes back to work today. And I've also got her Easter vigil that I wanted to play, kind of what she had to say there, because I was really surprised with a couple of things she said there. I want to break that down a little bit. Look, no one knows how they're going to react. I think Savannah is such a wonderful human and a person of faith. And I think the unknowing for her is what is so hard. My question to you is, would you pay this amount, the 30, gosh, I've already forgotten whether it was 32 or 34, 8, 42, 12. Would you pay that if you were worth $40 million? Obviously, people who are going paycheck to paycheck and they're maybe making $70,000, even $100,000 a year, that's a third of their whole income. But maybe you would do it. Maybe you would still take out a loan. I'm going to be honest with you, I would do it. I know it's easy for me to sit here, for all of us to sit here and say what we would or wouldn't do. We've never walked one step in Savannah's shoes. Not one. Let me put it this way. I think I would. When I think about all the money I have thrown away, like on cars that, you know, I'm constantly trying to keep working, and all the money just on other things, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bet the cum here for those of you who are craps players. I bet the cum on this one. Because even though she doesn't mention that she thinks these notes are legitimate, and I totally understand why, right? These people are coming back in, going through the same email system. And obviously many people heard about that publicly. That could be why they are continuing to do it. But it doesn't it seem like they just have insider knowledge that these notes would never be found by the FBI, that these emails couldn't be traced? We talked a lot about this on another show. I am no IT expert. Yes, I have investigative experience, but I don't consider myself at all an IT, you know, aficionado. But I know what I would do. And I've talked about it. I would go get a cell phone. And especially if they're in Mexico, oh my God, that makes it really easy. I get a cell phone that doesn't go back to me. I put a VPN on it from one of those companies that advertises, and you can see them, they're everywhere. And they are 99.9% loved. Because no one can trace that VPN back to that address, that email address. So you got that step, but then you're going to go one step further and you're going to get an email that is an out of country email. So now, even if somehow through the VPN, they're able to figure out the email, now you've got to go across the country or across the world to a lot of these providers. They are absolutely do not want to disclose any information because of their privacy, the privacy standards they have in other countries like Switzerland, Germany. It is a high bar. That's why people put money there. That's why people run emails out of there. Check it out. Look at Proton Email. And those countries have absolutely no, or the FBI has absolutely no power in another country. Zero. Now, do other countries a lot of times want to cooperate? They really do want to cooperate, especially on a case like this. But you know what they have to risk if they decide to cooperate? Because imagine this is going to be all over the place once it comes out, right? Once they get somebody, and if Proton Email, I'm just throwing that one out there, if they choose to cooperate, that's going to be all over. How do you think their other customers are going to feel like if normally nothing is disclosed and they have confidence that I can use this email and I'm never going to be disclosed, and now it's splashed all over court documents after Porch Guy and whoever else is involved in this is arrested? They don't want to disclose anything. They hid Nazi money for years. I'm not saying it's Switzerland. I'm just saying Proton goes back to Switzerland. There's also German. There's other, because that's just their country's priorities, and I'm not putting it down. I think a lot of people in the United States wish that they had that sort of blanket protection, right? You hear about it all the time. I think law enforcement's needs should far outweigh a privacy need of a criminal. That's just me. But there's a lot of people on X platform, on all these platforms, probably here in our audience, that will disagree with me and say, no, I don't want my DNA out there. I don't want my email stuff out there. I want to be private. But definitely the United States errs with our FISAs and our way we operate. We err on the side of crimes being solved over keeping the privacy of a criminal. Other countries don't. So I've just described to you all of the issues with going backwards and trying to trace these emails that are coming into TMZ. And it's interesting because I've seen a lot of things. Oh, they weren't emails. So funny how, to me, every time I think about it, it's so odd how as a case goes on, people forget, or maybe people didn't know, because there's been so much to know on this case, so much to ferret through. This isn't your average case with just a few things. This case has a lot of intricacies because it's gone on so long. It's kind of like the Koberger case was, I'm not going to call it that, sorry, the Idaho 4 case. The Idaho 4 case was also like that. It went on forever, 5 weeks before an arrest was made, and a lot of moving parts. Of course, in that one, there were 4 deceased victims, which was huge. But a lot of moving parts. In this one, I find it to be the same, of course, as more time goes on, right? The first initial detainees, the car being seized, Annie's car being seized, everything that's gone on. On my Twitter, I chronicle it. Every day, I probably do 3 tweets just on Nancy, on information, for information. So if anybody wanted to and say, all right, what happened on February 1st? On February 1st, you could go back to my tweets and you could just literally follow this case. That's how I chronicle cases, because, and I write a lot down in notebooks, but my best chronicle of any one case is going to be Twitter X. And if anybody's ever like wanting to know, how did I miss that? Or did I miss that? I found it interesting just a couple of days ago, I posted about somebody who was like, really? I didn't know that. And it's just because it's a lot to consume. It is. It's a lot to consume. And again, and I haven't done it because I've been so busy with my other jobs, but I really still need to do that spreadsheet to say what information we know from sources versus nanos versus things we can see with our own eyes and know for certain. I need to do another spreadsheet like that. But nevertheless, we know from TMZ that today there was a new ransom. For those who came in late, I think I should play this again one more time. So let me do this and get
you. I will share a little bit of news with you. The person who has been incessantly contacting us.
Although saying, stopped for a while.
Stopped for a while. Yeah. We got another letter today from this person, an email saying, I know where her body is and who the kidnapper is. Give me half a Bitcoin and I'll tell you. And this person has been really persistent,
yeah,
knowing that if it's a scam, it's a federal crime.
Right. But they also made the point that they wanted to make it clear that they have nothing to do with it.
Right.
They've been out of the country, but who knows?
We
forwarded it to the FBI,
right,
as we have in the past.
Right.
And for whatever reason, and this is the thing we haven't figured out, you have to assume that the law enforcement, they believe that this person is not legit. Otherwise, they would have advised Savannah to pay the money.
Yeah. Can we just be really transparent?
Uh-huh.
I think you're right that the law enforcement doesn't. There's something.
I just can't figure out why.
There's why not something. Take a flyer. The price of Bitcoin is much lower now. These are like, you could just take a flyer and see what the person knows. The most you lose is 20 grand, 25 grand.
I'll tell you why. My spidey senses tell me that there's something about this guy, because one of the emails he sent said early on, time is of the essence to do this. And then the next day he said, time is no longer of the essence. If he was pulling a scam, why would you say time is no longer the essence?
Right. You want to keep the value high.
You want to keep the value high.
Yeah.
And the fact that he said this made me think, this guy knows something.
Yeah, it's a way to look honest as well, though.
I'm not FBI.
We don't have to read all the information they are, but
you're talking
just from the outside looking in, it sure seems like this person knows something.
All right, so there you have it again. I just wanted, for people who came in late, because I did initially have five and then I backed it down to 4:45 because I wanted to really address this. So again, the certainty as to how many notes TMZ has received, we're not 100% certain. We know two for sure at the beginning, and those are the two that Nancy or Savannah Guthrie has said are legitimate, real, I think is how she said them. In other words, connected to the person who abducted her mother. And I believe in large part, they believe that because of the specificity of what was in those notes. We know they described clothing. We know, I believe they said something about the bedstand and then something about a floodlight, things along this line. So specificity that only people who would have been at the crime scene would know about. And you put that also into context with how the FBI reacted. And that was to put together a script in conjunction with the Guthrie family. They certainly would have, you know, any say so to say, no, I'm not saying that, or that sounds okay, or I want to add this. That, you know, at the end of the day, they are the ones that have the authority, but they're going to be coached and guided by the FBI. And you can bet, just like you listen to your mechanic, these individuals, the Guthrie family, were listening to the FBI because of their years of experience, where they come in, what might work, and their behavioral analysis unit people, what might work on the person. And if there was an apology at the end of that second note after they killed her, per the notes, I mean, I still am shocked if she was able to make it through the initial contact, whisking her out of there. I think we know now that the 41 minutes is not accurate, that most likely they came in there much earlier at 1:47, phone disconnect or camera disconnected, walk around the house at 212. They're sighted, and then enter the back, and then open the door, and then the front door, and then abduct her, grab her out of her bed, maybe grab her first. Another person opens the door. Maybe they're capable of doing that. She's 150 pounds of weight. I call it dead weight, not because she was dead, but you guys know what I mean. And weight that actually could have been struggling and kicking. I understand she wasn't a strong person. She was 84. That doesn't mean she couldn't have resisted to some degree over the shoulder or as she's being held, because I don't think she walked out of there. There's no information. Her cane was taken. Her medicine wasn't taken. They didn't give a crap about Nancy's comfort or well-being. We know she could not walk barely to the mailbox, and that was only on some occasions. She had extensive back pain. No shoes. She wasn't walking. They didn't walk her out of there. They snatched her, blew open the doors. You can see, this is my favorite picture of these, of them, of Nancy, from an investigative lens. If you look, obviously to me, the cane was important because it was so unique. And somebody said, I remember I said that, and somebody said, oh, you can buy those at whatever. And I'm like, well, it's unique to me. I have never seen somebody walking around with a cane like this. I've seen a lot of people with canes. My brother lives in an old folks home. My special needs brother in an old folks home, which is really cool. They love him. And lots of canes. I have never seen a cane like this. So I thought it was unique. And then secondarily, you could really see what blood thinners does to the arm and to her arm. There's a lot of pictures of Nancy's arms. They're always the same. Very thin skin, very easy to break. For any of you who know somebody on a pacemaker, which many of you do, I certainly do, that blood thinners, the pacemaker, the whole thing, you barely look at their arm and it starts to bleed. I can just, you know, hug my mom, my papa, my mom's husband, and oh my gosh, you know, I can accidentally make him bleed. So the only thing I was surprised, if it's true, is the source reporting. Remember that there was no signs of a struggle inside the house. And I mean that in this way. Not that it doesn't make any sense to me that an 84-year-old woman getting surprised in her bed, in her pajamas, in the dead of night, would not be so surprised, startled, and frozen, possibly in fear, with a gun, by the way. I mean, he brought the gun for a reason. I do not think that gun was in the holster. I really think there was more than one person. I think two people snagged her. I think the gun was out. I think they had somebody in the car. And I think they grabbed her, forcefully grabbed her out of that bed. I am surprised if it's true per source information. And if you listen closely to the source information, the source, at least one of the sources, because everybody has a source. Everybody's reporting a lot of the same items and they're quoting their sources. So I am struggling with, do they each have individual sources that are saying the same thing? Or does everybody really have the same source? Because that source, you could tell he hates Nanos. And that source is reaching out to all of these folks. But that source, remember, as if you listen closely, he doesn't know. He's not investigating the case. He's not privy to the case, but he's privy to people, he says, that are in the know. And it's those people that told him, as an example, that the sergeant was not, had no homicide investigative experience. And that there was no, were no signs of a struggle. Which I took to mean there's no blood, there's, you know, nothing is rampaged through there. But wow, I'm surprised if you grab somebody out of bed that those blood droplet trail wouldn't have started in advance of where we see it on the porch stoop. I would be surprised, especially based on her arms. And then for those of you who have experience with people on blood thinners and with pacemakers, what you see in terms of their ease of bleeding. I'm just surprised if that's true, because that's sign of a struggle. If there was blood in there, that's signs of a struggle. But the source reporting is no signs of a struggle. In other words, the first blood we see is outdoors. So that's what they're saying. And if that's accurate, you know, it was a quick wisp, got her out of there before there's any major signs of any struggle in that house. And as we would have expected, it was immaculate. We would all expect it to be immaculate from what we've seen in photos and things. So we know the first two notes, at least they believe, are real. Savannah, and I believe law enforcement too. The other notes that came after, there were several notes that TMZ talked about. At one point, they said they weren't going to talk about the notes anymore. Then the next day, they talked about the notes. Then it went dry talking about the notes. So we didn't really know, is that because they said they didn't want to talk about the notes, or is that because there were no notes? But now we hear again with the TMZ reporting that there was a dry hiatus, that they hadn't gotten them for a long time, right? That's what they said. It was a long time ago. And then to get one today, as we talked about, the day that Savannah makes her first appearance, you know, almost 2 months later, over 2 months later, sorry. Well, yeah, over 2 months later, because it was on the 1st of February, 28 days, and then the 6th of April. So over 2 months later, she makes her, and then what did they do? So just think how sadistic these people are. They could have done that way earlier, but no, they did it because she was on. They knew, you know, it would be somewhat at least back in the news, so they wanted their biggest punch for this one. That's what they did. They got their biggest punch here by doing it on today. So either this note writer, if this note writer is not the same or affiliated with, again, she only said the first two notes. If this, these after notes, remember, this is the guy that keeps saying, listen, I know what happened. I know where her body is. I think they said where her body is, not where she was buried. In fact, I miswrote that and I apologize, because she might not be buried, but they said they know where she is. And if you pay me money, I'll tell you about that. I just don't understand why between the FBI and Savannah and the Guthries that maybe they couldn't put that together. Because even though the money, if it goes to Bitcoin, it's poof, gone. At least you have that piece of evidence later. And if, not that I think it's true, because I think this is just a mean, evil, sadistic person, but say it isn't, and say they have information, they've got to tell it to the family. Right? I mean, supposedly they say they'll tell it. Can you imagine if they tell the family that? It's a big roll of the dice. And again, I guess I shouldn't say I would do it, because I haven't walked one step in this family's shoes. Not one. Never had anybody go missing. Never been emotionally what they're going through. I want to play you a clip from Savannah today. So she spoke, I'm sorry, Sunday. I played the whole thing on my Twitter on Sunday, on Easter. And then this morning I played this clip. I want to play it for you here right now.
Far away, when life itself seems far harder than death. These moments of deep disappointment with God, the feeling of utter abandonment. For most of us, there will come a time in our life when these feelings hold sway. In my own season of trial, I have wondered. I have questioned whether Jesus really ever experienced this particular wound that I feel, this grievous and uniquely cruel injury of not knowing, of uncertainty and confusion, and answers withheld. In those darkest moments, I have thought, bitterly and perhaps irreverently, that I have stumbled upon a feeling that Jesus did not know.
I tell you what, that's some really, for those in the audience that are people of faith, I'm just, you know, again, I want to be very careful here because I pass no judgment on those who have experienced this. And I tell you, I don't know how I would be if I were Gabby Petito's parents, or how I would do as the Idaho 4 parents, or any parent who has lost a child. Anaya Blanchard. So many parents that lose children. So many. Every day we write about them. I don't know how I would do if I lost a child. Somehow, and I've lost my mother when she was only 62. And my father recently. He was at 84. It's always tough. It's always tough when you love somebody and you know you're not going to be able to talk to them. They're not going to be in your daily lives anymore. It's so tough. I get it. But I will say, it seems like Nancy had such a full and amazing life, and somebody by all accounts who was extremely religious. So in other words, if Savannah's religious and her mom was religious, you know, they both believe she is in heaven, in a far better place than here. And Savannah spoke about that. She said, not in this clip, in another clip I played, she said God spoke to her. And basically, when Savannah was saying, "Where are you?" he was saying to Savannah, "She's here. She's with me." And that was really touching, you know, to hear that and to hear that faith. But, you know, just like everybody, people sway in and out of their faith at times. But I don't know. All I know is that I think this was raw, what she had to say, and certainly doubting her faith and on this deal. I thought that was very interesting. But she also said something that I also found important. She said that sometimes you need the darkest times to be able to sort of appreciate the light times, to be able to appreciate what God has done. So I thought that that was very important. I want to quickly look down at this and thank NJZ for gifting a Break the Case membership. You know, I've said it before, you know, nothing stands out more to me than when people become members. I just so appreciate you all. And again, I've got that special thing we're going to do for $3.99 members with a special FBI little gift package for you. Oh, Karen Cardwell. And thank you, Karen. Karen says, "Spreadsheet, please. I just have to find the time to do it with my normal jobs. But I need to do that. I've been saying I need to do it, and I need to do it. I also need to do it for these shows, so I just have an easy reference point as to what facts came from where. Beyond that, with these ransom notes, I know many people are asking, because in my day, when there were ransom notes, those were not fun, challenging and exciting capers from the standpoint of putting together a plan to draw out the individual through how we were going to pay, or communications, monitoring those drops. It was always these huge Cecil B. DeMille's, I'll call them, because they're very orchestrated with all the different facets to be able to put that all together and be successful. But in this case, and in these times, it's so much harder. I've already described how we have these emails that seemingly can't be traced, despite the best of the best in the FBI, in cyber doing it, in likely they have hired the best of the best in private industry to assist in tracing these emails. That's just what the FBI does. So they have the best of the best. We're over 2 months into this, and we still have no answers. No answers about those ransom notes. No answers to who sent those emails. It's brilliant what Porch Guy, and I'm going to just say this, I think it's more than Porch Guy. I know not everybody agrees with me, but I think it's more than Porch Guy. And it's brilliant what they did. And some more notes about these, or things to consider about these ransom notes. Harvey Levin said they were so well written. I think many of us believe that is just because of ChatGPT. AI came in and you know, said, hey, I want to do this ransom note. That's also brilliant that they did that, because you don't want the way somebody uses verbiage. I mean, the perfect example is the JonBenet Ramsey note, which many of you are going to disagree about, but I think that was written by Patsy Ramsey. I'll go to my grave believing that. Have a lot of information regarding that case, and I will forever believe Patsy Ramsey wrote that note. And it's not just because the writing matches. And I know there's been all these other experts that came in after, but the examination that I hold the most water with, the best of the best who examined it, said it was her. And I believe it. And I'll really, I think almost a layman can look at it and see. I've got this whole chart that shows all the unique things she did in her writing, just letters, and then also the uniqueness of what was said and how it was said and how she went from, I think it did say Mr. Ramsey, and then it's John. She couldn't help herself. Anyway, I don't want to get down that road right now, but I'm just talking about how intelligent it was for whoever wrote those notes not to write it themselves, not to type it themselves, because there were certain idiosyncrasies. I may have told you about this case. I had a very, it was really a harrowing case. Again, this was after 9/11. And essentially, there was a plane that was in the air, and a note was found in the bathroom that said words to the effect of, Americans die. I love Osama bin Laden. There's a bomb on the plane. Words to that effect. I don't have it right before me. If you look at the Glamour magazine article, it's all in there. But nevertheless, so there's this flight going. So I get the call. At that time, I was the SRA in Dallas, and Dallas is the hub of American Airlines, Dallas International Airport, DFW International Airport. I should call it by what it's called. So at that point, because of what happened at 9/11, we immediately rallied fighters to go up, because if this plane started heading for a Capitol, a tower, to kill more people, we didn't know what it was going to do. Obviously, it would have to be taken down. But that isn't what happened. The plane ended up landing. And then the crew was flown in the next day, and I was in charge of interviewing. And so I was in charge of the case as the case agent, because it was an American Airlines case. So the first interview I conduct is with the person who found the note. She was a black female, approximately in her 20s, as I recall. I think late 20s, though. Really cute, petite. And anyway, and I'm getting to something important with what I'm trying to say here. I'm interviewing her. And her story as to why she went into the bathroom, that's where this note was not making any sense to me. because the note was found in the sink. I don't know. It just, the whole thing just didn't, when she's telling me the story, it just didn't jive with me. So I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you a piece of paper. Just write. I'm going to tell you what to write because I had the note. I'm going to tell you what to write. Just write this down for me, will you? So she writes it. And the person who wrote the note spelled Osama bin Laden wrong. When she wrote the note, she wrote Osama bin Laden wrong. Her spelling was wrong. But the handwriting was completely off. Completely off. So then I said, hey, listen, can you do this one more time, but with your left hand? She was right-handed. Perfect match. Still misspelled it, and now the handwriting was perfect match. So obviously in a typewritten note, those mistakes aren't going to be made, but things like spelling errors and syntax, there's something very unique about the way I write only on Twitter. I've never written this way before, but for whatever reason I do it, I do a lot of dot, dot, dots when I do posts because I have so much more I want to say, but I got to try to keep my, I mean, some of my posts are way too long as it is, but I got to try to keep it down. So when I put dot, 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 meaning, gosh, there's so much more I wish I could say. When I write for real or for a real report, obviously I don't do dot, dot, dot because I have to say it. But nevertheless, that is why it was brilliant to use like a chat GPT or AI to write the note, because that is going to be written in something that would never be able to be equated with the person who wrote the note. The fact that this person, if this person has nothing to do with the case, this is one, and I keep saying I want to do a segment on this, a show on this. These are part of this group of people. They don't want money. They get an absolute thrill out of how they know this is making Savannah Guthrie feel. This is a total power play. Imagine right now what's going to happen, because it is going to go. We have a small channel here, but I so appreciate all of you on here. I guarantee we have the best followers here, smartest followers, the most engaging followers. But, you know, we're not a huge channel, but I hope we grow. But nevertheless, this is going to be talked about on every major network, course on News Nation, my favorite, CNN, Fox, Newsmax, everywhere. This will be everywhere, the story, TMZ, because it's big news, because it could provide a break. I don't know. The other emails didn't provide a break, but there's always hope that something was changed. I just find it very unbelievable that the coincidence of the two initial note writers or the two initial notes being written to TMZ and those other stations. And by the way, this one could have gone to the other stations too. We don't know, because those stations don't usually come out. And then the other notes, which I believe to be about four, that go to TMZ. I am absolutely shocked that if they're different people, that they just knew that this is the way to go. Because remember, this person that's writing this note, and how do we know it's the same? Because the Bitcoin account, they put in there the Bitcoin numbers, which, by the way, are public numbers. If you have the number, if we have the number, which I need to go back and look, because when Harvey Levin first put it up, I took a screenshot of it because I could see the numbers through. But I actually thought it was because it started with the Dominican area code, I believe it was, or no, actually, I can't remember the area code. But I wonder if I have that number. I should go look. I have the number for sure because I screenshotted it because he accidentally put it up there. And then they're like, put that number down. And then he puts the number down. I think they edited that out, but I still have it because I saw the very first and I screenshotted it. I need to get that and see if that screenshot will add up to the Bitcoin account just so I can look at it. Because remember, the FBI sent money to that Bitcoin number, a small amount, like $300, I think. It's never been taken out. That was to the first two notes, right? Never been taken out just to see if that Bitcoin number was legitimate and what would happen if they sent it in. Nothing happened. But that account, anybody can see if you have the number. Well, this guy or girl, this person is coming in separately again. Remember, right on the heels. So it wasn't like it was a month later. It was right on the heels of the initial two notes, but after Nancy Guthrie would have been killed, according to the two notes, right? So they come in right on the heels of that. How would they know that that wasn't going to be traced? How would they know that there were going to be issues with the FBI here over 2 months not being able to trace that? Think about that. How in the world, how would they know that? How would they feel comfortable enough? Now it makes sense, right? Of course they're comfortable. It's been 2 months. The FBI can't figure it out. But back then, a couple of days later, for a person, a different person, not at all associated with this group, to use the exact same method, the exact same mode of delivering these messages, and to use Bitcoin, another Bitcoin number, right? A Bitcoin number. So just say four notes, so two notes they say are real and for sure they believe, which I think the reason they believe they're connected is because of the details that were in those notes, which of course I've had Mac on. I love Mac. And she says, listen, I could tell you what's in your house just by knowing you, who you are, what you like to do, your hobbies, blah, blah, blah. And I actually agree with that in large part. You can tell a lot of what might be in there, but I think the description of the clothing and the floodlight, you know, the pajamas now that we know and no shoes on and things like that, I think that's what and why they believe those notes are real. And I tend to believe they are now too. Not to get money though. They came in late. They went to the media. You guys, this is such a torture on the family. What they have done is not only punish Nancy Guthrie to the ultimate degree, because I think her life is gone. They've punished the family by taking Nancy Guthrie. And then lop on top of that now, these notes that are being sent. In other words, even the first two notes. Remember, the note came in, I believe, on day three. That's when finally Nanos got the Bureau in to handle the ransom side. Remember, he turns his back. He says, all right, FBI, you handle the ransom side. We're going to continue with the, you know, the abduction side, that investigation. There's a news conference where he says that. I'm going to clip that and get that for you guys. So those notes, the first two notes, I think are as sadistic, just as bad as these last several notes. Are they related? I guess the only one that law enforcement believes are for sure related are the first two because of the specificity, and the second, or, you know, the next notes really aren't doing anything specific. What they're saying is, just listen, I can tell you who did it. I can tell you where she's buried. And that's all I got for you. But I need money. And now they only need $34,000. That seems like a low amount. I think this is just torture. I actually don't know if I'd pay it now because I think it's so fake. But what isn't fake is what they want to do to this family. And that is to sadistically hurt them. All right, everyone. I tell you, I feel so sorry for him. I feel terrible. I wonder if she'll be able to go to work tomorrow. I really do. They're going to have to make some decisions because now it's down to only 34,000. Now it's down to 34,000. Are they just trying to do a bite on the cherry, just have that low-hanging fruit low enough that they'll bite? So not only are they sadists, but now they get a little bit of money. They're sick people. The first note writers, who I truly don't think they ever thought they would get a dime, and the second note writers, they're all equally as sick. All right, everyone. Thank you for being here. We'll be back on tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. I'm going to try to stick in that same time frame. We're going to try 9 o'clock because of the West Coasters have asked me if we could do that. And I'm going to do more research. We're going to see what this develops into, what the Guthries say, what happens overnight. It's going to be very interesting to see. Until next time, everyone, thank you so much for joining me. I so appreciate each of you. Thank you to the mods. May justice be served for the Guthrie family and for all the missing.